Good morning. Thanks for sharing your story, Shelly. Just really appreciate that. The power of the invitation, that's what I want to talk on this morning. Happy Palm Sunday as we get ready to come into our Easter week, and traditionally the church follows that calendar. This was the Sunday that Jesus rode in on the colt of a donkey, and the streets were lined up prophetically as worship rose, and they declared him to be the King of Kings, Hosanna, the one who had set free. And we want to celebrate that today, of course. And next week, Good Friday, we'll have a healing emphasis. It's a believers' meeting on Good Friday. That doesn't mean you can't bring your friends. Bring them all weekend if they'll come. If they're making a choice, have them come on Sunday morning. On Good Friday, we'll gather here as a family. We'll have communion together. Feel like the Lord's put a word on my heart, and we're going to have a time of just prayer here at the front for anyone who has a need in your physical body. Get healed before next week. Just believe that. But if you come next week and need healing, we're going to pray and believe God to do some miracles. Everyone said, amen. Come on. And that's what God loves to do. Is it just me, or when Ted sings Death is Arrested, there's a slight country twang in that? Is that just me, or when death is arrested in my life begin? I kind of picture him with a little piece of Timothy out of his mouth and a straw hat, his acoustic guitar. He should do a country set sometime, right? Great, there's only three of you that are country fans in here. All right, good. No, we'll stay rock. I'll get in trouble. Let's keep going. That's like wearing your Toronto Maple Leafs shirt that Dominic wore this morning. He's just drawing the line right there. Revelation chapter 22, come, says the Holy Spirit, and the bride in divine duet. Let everyone who hears this duet join them in saying, come. Let everyone gripped with spiritual thirst say, come. And let everyone who craves the gift of living water come and drink it freely. This is my gift to you, says Jesus. Come. Father, we thank you today that you would remind us how powerful an invitation is. Lord, that it is a simple task that you've given us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Lord, you equipped us. You empowered us. Lord, there are stories to be told, and this Easter will be no exception, of people who will say, I found Jesus on Easter Sunday at Harvest Christian Fellowship. Lord, we just pray that you'll move mightily in these days. We thank you to do so in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Power of an invitation. And yes, we're getting ready for our Easter weekend, which is one of our largest gathering opportunities. We do this several times in our church calendar, and Christmas and Easter being one of the ones that we put a lot of work into to prepare the environment here at Harvest for people to hear, those that are unchurched, to hear the gospel maybe for the first time in their lives and to respond to the gospel and receive it. So we're not hiding that. That's just exactly where we're at and what we're doing. I want to remind you that that's an important time for us, and it's an important time for us together as a church to be on the co-mission, the Great Commission. We are in co-mission. We are working together, and we find that bringing someone into the presence of God is one of the most powerful evangelistic tools that you could ever use. So let's just talk about that a little bit and how invitations can change your life. When I was 14, a friend of mine invited me to go miniature golfing with he and his family. It sounded like fun, so I said, yeah, let's do it. And so they picked me up, and off we went into the city, because I lived in a rural area, and into the city area of London where there were some miniature golf courses. It was a sunny Saturday afternoon, and we played our round of miniature golf, but that's not what I remember. I remember walking toward the driving range and watching people hit balls with a driver out into a field that had markers 50, 75, 100, 150, 200, 250, and watched as some people were hitting the ball, and it seemed like it went right to the back to that 250-yard marker. I was just really intrigued, and there was another invitation. My friend's father asked me if I'd ever done that at a driving range. And I said, I had. And he said, would you like to? Second invitation came. And I said, I didn't even hesitate. Oh, yeah. And so he went and got me a bucket of balls. We picked out a 3-wood that seemed manageable for me as a 14-year-old. And I started to hit some balls. I was a little clumsy at first. But like most kids, you catch on quickly. We have some flexibility. And because our bodies are flexible, we start to, even if it's not a good swing, it makes a connection. And I hit it 50 yards and then 100. And I think maybe one roll to the 150 marker at least once. I was sad when my last ball from the bucket was off the rubber tee that was sticking out of the artificial mat there at the driving range. But I can tell you what, I was hooked. The next week I went with my mom into town. We went to Sears to do some shopping. I went right to the sports department and I found a Northwestern 3-wood, which is exactly like the one I was using at the driving range. And with my own money, I purchased it with a sleeve of balls and I headed home. They might be wondering, what in the world would I do with a sleeve of balls and a driver and some tees? Well, I lived, as I've mentioned, in an agricultural area, and it was the time of year they had just plowed the rye fields, Sandy, Caradoc Township area, and almost like beach sand. It's so fine. And so I could tee up a ball and hit it out into the field, and there would be a little puff of dust where it would hit, and I would kind of keep my eye on that and run out. And at first, it wasn't too far. Didn't have to go far to get it. But after a while, started to get good at hitting balls and running out, and I would do it over and over and over again. That invitation changed my life. I would go on to buy a whole set of clubs. In fact, I've bought several sets of clubs over the years, and I would take up a game that I play to this day. I invited my boys to play, and now they're adults, and they play, and my grand boys, I'm sure, will be tagging along in the not-too-distant future. The power of an invitation, simple and yet can be life-changing. Someone might say to you, simple, would you like to go out for a coffee? And a lifetime friendship formed out of an invitation to a coffee. Christina and her family, years ago, were visiting the church that I was attending in London. It was called Glad Tidings. I was at the University of Western Ontario at the time as a first-year student there. And the new girl, she was the new girl, came in with her parents that morning. And she caught my eye, and I did some intel. And I found out that she attended another church. She was attending with her parents, but as young adults, she had a group of people that she did life with the church and youth group that she grew up in. And so I did some intel to find that out. And so I went there for their youth meeting that evening and sat near the back. And she recognized me from the morning at the church. And so she came over. We started to chat. And I invited her to go for pizza. Well, I don't have to tell you where that story went. And I mean, a simple invitation can change our lives. And invitations come in all forms, don't they? Formal, fancy writing, e-invitations, Facebook invitation that you check to find out who else is going before you commit because you're not sure you want to be there. However that might go. But an invitation says, you're wanted. You are welcome. You are invited. And Jesus was the greatest inviter of all time, inviting people to experience a life that was unimaginable to them, unimaginable to you and I, a life with purpose and destiny in relationship with God himself. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came looking for people. Jesus was on assignment. He came out of heaven looking for people, loving people, caring about people, all people. This particular verse in Luke concludes, it comes at the end of a story. And if you went to Sunday school as a kid, you'll remember Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, the Savior for to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there, from going to your house for tea. Well, nobody goes to anybody's house for tea anymore, and that must have had some British influence. I don't know. And if you're old, how many remember that song about Zacchaeus? Yeah, there we are again, the post whatever age. Just a fun little song and that we would sing about this gentleman who was short of stature, the Bible tells us, and he couldn't see up over the crowds that had lined the roadway to see Jesus. And he was a tax collector, which meant the same as it means today. We don't like people who work for the government to take our tax. When you see the MPAC person drive by your house, we don't want to let them anywhere near to do an assessment. We don't like tax collectors. They didn't like them then. And you probably, if you were Zacchaeus, were not getting too many invites to your neighbor's kids' bar mitzvah parties because they didn't like tax collectors. They were not invited. They were not welcome. But Jesus is heading down a street, and he stops at this tree. And I don't know if he saw Zacchaeus up there. I would imagine the tree at this time of the year was in full plumage, and so maybe he was a little bit hidden. It says this in Luke 19, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Kind of invited himself, but an invitation nonetheless. When he reached the spot. And I think that there are spots in people's lives that on assignment that God's been preparing them, and it may seem like a simple little thing to invite them, but you don't know what's been going on. And Jesus, the great inviter, knows that there's something happening in Zacchaeus' life, and he goes right to the spot. How many of us can think about when somebody invited us to church or invited us to an event or invited us to sit down to hear about the gospel, that when that happened, they hit the spot? They were right at the right time in the right place of our lives, that the Holy Spirit just coordinated everything. I believe that angels are working overtime for some of us, getting those moments on the spot. This morning, I was coming in and I met Chantel and I asked permission to share the story. And Chantel said, "I've been coming for 3 weeks." I said, "Tell me your name." She said, "Chantel." She said, "I've been coming for 3 weeks." She said, "This is amazing. And I just feel like I'm floating. I feel so light." And she's telling me, just unpacking how attending at Harvest and meeting Jesus each week in worship and in the Word is working in her life. And then she paused and she said, "There's a lady and I need to find her. She said she goes to Harvest. I need to find her. She invited me to come to church and I haven't seen her. And I saw her and she said, you need to come to Harvest. And her name is," and she's trying to, she knew it started with S, and she tried a few, and I went, "Charisse?" She goes, "Yes, that's her name." And I go, "I think she comes to second service." She goes, "I need to meet her." Well, what was it? 30 seconds later, a minute later, Charisse comes in, and you're sitting right behind Chantel. And the two of them are kind of hugging and going around in circles in the aisle here. "Thank you for inviting me to church." And Charisse is crying and she's crying. And the power, why? Because Jesus showed us it's at the right moment, at the right time, that only he knows, at the spot an invitation was given. So he went down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." On the video that we played for step one, that our heart is that Sundays are not just for us as church-going people. In fact, we made a decision years ago that we wanted this atmosphere on a Sunday morning to be attractive to unchurched people, people that had no idea what it would be like, or if they had an idea, it might be grandma's church or an experience they may have had that they just couldn't relate to and wouldn't understand why they would have to attend a meeting that way. We realize that sometimes as people who go to church every Sunday that it's great for us, but there are multitudes of people who need to be fed with the bread that Jesus has. And like the feeding of the multitudes, that the disciples were called to serve the multitudes. And at Harvest, our dream team, you serve so faithfully. Thank you each and every Sunday as we are disciples of Christ, giving out in every area and every environment of Harvest so that an unchurched person can receive the bread and the fish, literally, of what Jesus provides. There was 12 men that Jesus chose as his disciples originally, as he's chosen us. We can guess that these guys probably had been overlooked by the other rabbis. I think it probably looked a little bit like Jerusalem's Got Talent, and rabbis would kind of, or The Voice, and they would spin around in the chair, "Yeah, I want Peter." No, nobody wanted Peter, I can guarantee it. But Jesus, the great inviter, didn't invite us or invite his first 12 based on what they were doing or where they were. He invited them based on where he knew they could go, where he had called them to be. He knew in the life they were that there was limitations, and they probably would be overlooked and not invited by others. They didn't have what it might take. But Jesus knew they did have what it took when he would get a hold of their life, when death was arrested and my life began. And there was an invitation, and he said, I need you guys to follow me. He saw Peter 3.5 years later on the day of Pentecost preaching to 2,000 people who would say yes to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus knows who to invite. He's able to call out the God destiny in people. And he called us to do the same. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Some brothers, what did Jesus see? No, he saw the leaders of the first century church. He saw the apostles that had destiny and calling because of the power of an invitation. Another time, we find Jesus, the next day, it says he decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said, come, follow me. He found him. He's actively searching and seeking. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity in a moment to receive him into your life. Why? Because he's been looking for you. He's been looking for you. He left heaven on assignment looking for you that he might find you and rescue you and bring you into a life that is full, it's eternal, it's full of purpose, it's full of promise, and he is looking, and he was actively looking for Philip. We hear this story over and over at Harvest that when people make that decision and they kind of say, I found Jesus. No, he wasn't lost. He found you. You realized that he was looking for you. And that's kind of how they feel. It's as if he were looking for me my whole life. He has been. It's as if everything led up to this moment when I received him. It did. And it was. He found Philip. He was actively looking. Why? The power of an invitation. Jesus is looking for your family members, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors. The power of an invitation. I'm on assignment for the people that God has put me on assignment with. This past week, I had an opportunity to do a funeral for a neighbor that I live beside in Ingleside. And I think they've come to a Christmas gathering here. I would say that they are unchurched. They don't have a church that they call home, but through relationship, they have asked that I've done family weddings and funerals and kind of got adopted into their clan. And I can be on assignment and talk with, and I have, and I did. And you have your sphere of influence of people that you talk to, that person at the grocery store that just seems to be there each and every time you go, and you've gotten to be on a first name basis and you chatted up a little bit with them. They're in your sphere. They're people that Jesus is looking for. He said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus invited us, just like he did his disciples, with an invitation that's full of promise and purpose. Promise and purpose. First, he'll give you purpose. You will be an inviter too. You will be an inviter that will have purpose behind it. It's a promise. It's a promise that when you're on assignment, when you are fulfilling your purpose to be a fisher of men, to be inviting people, to be talking to people about Jesus, to invite them into a space where they could encounter or hear about Jesus, you're becoming a fisher of men. And Jesus said, I promise I will make you. Because a lot of us would say, I don't know if, you know, I don't, how do you start a conversation like that? How do you do this? Jesus' lifestyle of inviting is to be ours as well. In Romans, Paul said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Sherry's testimony this morning, we've captured a couple of thoughts. The purpose being that she came to Jesus an Easter ago, because Easter doesn't fall in the same time every year. But last Easter here at Harvest, she discovered Jesus and gave her heart to the Lord. Has been water baptized. There's a number of stories that we've captured that we'll see. We started today. We'll see throughout the weekend. A healing story, a physical healing story. You'll hear next Friday before we pray for the sick. Everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. And one of her, I'm not sure if it'll be shown, but I saw the footage where she said, "That seemed too easy to me. I heard the message, but I thought there's got to be more that I have to do. How can you just believe and then that's enough, that Jesus will come into your life?" And she said, "I thought I have nothing to lose, so I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to believe that Jesus died for me." And she said, "When I made that decision at that moment, it was like something I'd never experienced before." She goes, "It was that simple. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord," everyone, say everyone, "will be saved. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." But how's that happen? So Paul went on, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe if they've never heard about them? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" And so back to the assignment that most of us feel, how do you do this? And I don't know if I know enough about the Bible. And I heard Pastor Roy's teaching downstairs on Wednesday nights, basic doctrine. I didn't take that. And what if somebody asks me a hard question? I don't know if I could convince them that the Bible is right or real. Or Acts 1:8 says, "You will receive power," say power, "when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world." When the Holy Spirit fills your life for you to fulfill your purpose, Jesus, you got to get this, Jesus did not call you to be his attorney. He doesn't need an attorney. So many of us think we've got to prove to others everything the Bible says, that we're going to have to convince them, that we're going to have to be like an attorney and get all the evidence. And though many people do come to salvation because their minds kind of get around the facts and, you know, they see some evidence, nonetheless, he didn't call you to be an attorney. He simply called you to witness. Well, what does that mean, Pastor Roy? It means simply this: you have a story. And you've witnessed Jesus in your own life. And so it's your story. There was a before Jesus you. There was when you met Jesus you story. And there's a today I walk with Jesus and he's faithful to me. And so whether you've just been saved a moment, whether you have been saved for some time, you have a story or many stories. And if you tell that story, no one can argue with your story. You're simply witnessing to what's happened in your life. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has touched that in your life. And you say, "It's just a story." Yeah, but how many of us have heard somebody's story and gone, "Oh my goodness," and it touches you in a way. You've seen a story on the video, or you've seen a story online of someone who's powerfully encountered God. There's a story behind the story. And then when you tell your story, you're giving the invitation to go, "Would you like to meet him as well?" Philip found Nathanael. Remember, Jesus was looking for Philip. So he goes out and finds Nathanael. He told him, "Hey, we found the one that Moses," he's getting kind of theological here, kind of getting like heady Bible. He's going, "This is the Messiah. You know how we've been waiting for hundreds and centuries, and the, you know, as Jewish people, this is the Messiah. This is the one that Moses wrote about. He's the guy about whom the prophets wrote about." And then he slips in Jesus of Nazareth, which is where Jesus was living. But the scriptures actually said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, which he was, And that he would, it also said he would come out of Egypt, which was also true when Herod was seeking to kill Jesus. And so all three were right, but it was confusing because the prophecies were being fulfilled right before their eyes. And so for Philip, he has this revelation, this moment that he's the one, and you got to believe it too. And he says, Nazareth? Can anything come out of Nazareth? And he puts Philip into a position to explain what he has just said. What do you mean go to church? Like, you believe in God? Like what? And they start maybe asking you questions that you're afraid, well, I don't know how to answer that. Well, Philip's a pretty smart guy because he totally changes his approach. Come and see, said Philip. Would you read it with me? Ready? Come and see, said Philip. At Harvest, we don't hide that a large evangelistic tool here is the one that Philip used with Nathaniel. I don't know all the answers, but why don't you just come see? Because I know that when I'm in the presence of Jesus, I don't always understand it all, but something's going on in the inside that I know. I know that he's real. I know that he came in my life. I know that I was this way, and now I was that way. There was a blind man in the New Testament, and the scribes and Pharisees were trying to press him to explain what happened because he'd been born blind, and now he could see. And they are pressing him for an explanation. He goes, look, guys, I don't know. This isn't rocket science. I went in, I was blind. I went out, I could see. I once was blind, now I can see. And the reason is because of Jesus. That's all I know. I don't know the details. I don't know what the manual says. I just know what I experience. Every Easter, as a kid, we would sing a hymn. And it would be really high, so only the ladies could hit the high part on the hymn. If you ask me how, I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Come and see. And so next week is a great opportunity to tell people, just come and see. We believe every Sunday is, but we want to leverage, as Christina said earlier, the commission that we're together on. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission. But we were never supposed to do this alone. It is really powerful when we do it together. It's really powerful when we do it together on a Sunday morning. The dream team is in sync. They've been praying. They're ready for the service. They've had huddle. They're believing for somebody to come in. The parking lot team is there, and Graham has made some corny joke with somebody, but it's just lightened the mood in that moment, and they're already, the wall has kind of come down, and the host team has smiled to somebody, and they were, for them, that was the spot. How many times I've heard, I was greeted in a way, and the host team just made me feel like I was welcome, like I belong. That's an invitation. And they came in, and one invitation led to another invitation. And somewhere in that service, or maybe 15 services later, at the end of a service, someone raised their hand and said, today I want to receive Jesus. And we burst into a applause. Why do we do that? It's like, yes, people are getting saved. Because that's the great co-mission that we're on together. I want to invite you this week. Our host team is coming right now to give out some invitation cards. This is just a tool for you to use. You don't need to use this. We're not saying, you know, go out with the cards and put them on bulletin boards. Please don't do that. This is just for a personal, it's a touch card for you to make it easier if you'd like to do that. It's got the information on one side. On the other side, as you'll see as they're given out, I'd like everybody to have at least one, and then it's at least with you and you're thinking about it. but some of you I know will take more. And on the back it says you've been invited by, and that's simply, you could put your own, hey, just let me put my name right here. And you could put your contact number so that you could meet them. You know, maybe they text you before, hey, I've decided to come. And you can meet them at the back door. We're going to have more seating available. We're going to believe to pack out both our Easter services on Sunday. And we will be sensitive to that the unchurched are here. We're going to have a great time of worship, a clear gospel message, and an opportunity to respond to Jesus. I'll be spending time this week fasting and praying because the Bible says unless the Holy Spirit draws a person. So that's included in all of this, like that's motherhood, and I shouldn't have to say that, but I'm saying it. And the fasting and prayer part isn't to make God do that. He's already doing that. It's for our hearts to be ready in expectation. Our faith, I want my faith level to be fever pitch so that when I come to that moment, I'm not surprised when 20 hands go up. Sometimes I am. Oh, goodness, somebody put their hand up. That's really great. But our faith would be, this is a moment, God's, we're on co-mission together at Harvest, believing God for great and powerful things. Healing. I'm fasting that God will release healing. You'll hear this story on Good Friday, and I won't take away from it because it's just a powerful story. Why are we doing all this? Oh, yeah. Let me end with the scripture that we started with. Come, says the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is actively working in this season of grace. And he's saying to the world, come. The bride, it's us. We're in commission with Jesus. We've already heard the invitation. We've responded to the Holy Spirit. And so, like a divine duet, like a beautiful song being sang together, we join in. The Holy Spirit first. World, I'm inviting you. God, so love the world. The invitation goes out to the world. Whosoever calls in the name of the Lord. Holy Spirit's on assignment. Angels are working hard. And then we put our voices in that beautiful moment, realizing this is what heaven is singing about. This is the song of the redeemed. This is the song of the worship of heaven. Come, says the Holy Spirit, and the bride in divine duet. Let everyone who hears this duet, the sound in the heavenly realm, let them join in too. Let everyone grip with spiritual thirst. I want more. There must be more. Like the woman who sat on a well, and Jesus said, there is living water. And he gave an invitation to a woman who went back into town and became one of the most powerful evangelists. But she was unlikely. She was, if you read the story, was an unlikely person. And yet Jesus knew. Let everyone grip with spiritual thirst, say, come. Let everyone who craves the gift of living water come and drink it freely. It's my gift for you. The invitation is being given. Let's never lose sight. Let's never lose sight. We are a church that lives a lifestyle of invitation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray over these cards. We're going to believe God for a great week of fasting and prayer. However you might choose, just do a meal. Maybe you'll do a day. Just join with me in this week, and we're going to do that. But if you're here today, and you've heard us talking about an invitation, I need you to know that if you've never responded, then I would be as bold as to say, Jesus found you today. And you're in the hearing of my voice, either online or here in the room. Your heart might be beating a little bit faster simply because the Bible says he stands at the door of our heart, and there is a door on our heart. There is a door. We're in control of this. It's a matter of the will. And Jesus is knocking, saying, could I come in to your house? Could I come and be with you? Typically, our response is, look, if you knew how dirty my house was, you can't. This is not a good time. Let me clean up my house. No, only Jesus can clean the inside of us. He died on the cross for your sin and for mine. There's nothing you can do to make yourself a better person when it comes to eternity and spiritual water that we're talking about. If you're in the hearing of my voice right now, and today's your day to receive Jesus, and I would love to pray with you a prayer of invitation. If you're here and that's you, and you say, Pastor, I want to ask Jesus today. I want to receive. He's inviting me. I want to receive eternal life today. Would you just slip up your hand wherever you're sitting right now? I'll acknowledge it. Thank you. Anyone else today? Say, today's my day. I'm receiving Jesus. Anyone else? Let's go ahead and thank the Lord for today, a hand that is saying, did I say every head bowed and every eye closed before I did that? Or did we all have our eyes open? I don't remember. Were we open or closed? Oh, they were closed? Chantel, is it okay if I tell everybody that you made a decision today? Yeah. Good thing, because if it wasn't okay, I'd be in a lot of trouble. Chantel, would you pray with us today? This prayer of invitation, we're all going to pray it together. So just bow your head, Chantel, and say after us, dear Jesus, thank you that you found me today. Thank you for the invitation I received. Thank you for my heart that's so warm today, knowing that you love me. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Come in my life. Forgive my sin. Thank you that you see destiny in me. I begin today to live my new life with you in the house of God today and forever. Amen. Hey, you prayed that prayer, either Chantel or anyone online. You are born again. Stand to your feet. Let's pray this before we go today.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
This morning, we will have already identified a face that we're going to invite next week. Father, that we will be bringers and bring people into the house. Father, I just thank you for this word today. And God, I pray that as we leave today, you will bless every single person, Father. Just give them an incredible week, Father, and bring us back for next week, Easter weekend. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have an amazing week.